Good morning, y'all, and welcome to my house. It's Rosie on the house. With our head in the stars this morning with special guest Kevin Schlender, the historian for the Lowell Observatory, our backyard observatory located right in, virtually right in downtown Flagstaff. If you haven't been there, that's like saying you haven't been to the Grand Canyon. It just absolutely floors me when I start talking to people who have lived in Arizona for 3, 5, 9, 12, 15, 20 years and have never driven to the Grand Canyon. Well, not getting to Lowell Observatory is about equally as bad. Kevin, again, we want to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning and joining us here at Rosie on the house.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah. Are you Lowell Observatory's only staff geologist and paleontologist?
Well, I guess technically that's not my position. So, but we have some other staff who have geology backgrounds, I think, because one of our astronomers, Will Grundy, while technically I guess on paper his title might be astronomer, he considers himself more a planetary scientist, meaning he's studying the geology of other planets. And so, we think about astronomy and you're looking through a telescope and looking at the light and stuff like that. But, you know, with spacecraft and the technology we now have, we're able to study the rocks and other features of other planets. And so you really have to have that background in geology and chemistry, just like you would do to study the Earth.
Absolutely fascinating. We've talked a little bit about y'all's outreach program to the toddlers. You start as young programs as young as 3 to 5 years old. Then you go into the junior astronomers, and then you've got programs available for the adults too. Tell me what the Space Guard Academy is.
Well, Space Guard Academy is based on one of the research programs we have here, and that's studying asteroids. And really going back to the beginning of the observatory, different astronomers have studied asteroids. For years, we had a program looking for Earth-approaching asteroids, the quote-unquote killer asteroids that could possibly impact Earth someday. And today we have one of our scientists, Nick Moskowitz, and he studies asteroids, and it's really neat. You know, we think about science continues to advance with the advance of technology. Better telescopes let you see into the distance more and stuff like that. But Nick has this setup. He's got an array of off-the-shelf cameras that he has set up on the roof of one of the buildings up here at Lowell, and he's setting these arrays up in different areas. One actually is going to be down at Emory Riddle on the roof of one of their buildings.
Okay.
And then at some other locations. And all these little off-the-shelf cameras do is look at the sky every night and record any, shooting stars and anything weird. And so that, if somebody reports one of those really bright, what some people call a bolide, a really big, bright shooting star, we can go back to those cameras and they can figure out the trajectory of those objects. And then if they didn't burn up, based on those observations, they can go and look for whatever pieces might be left.
I mean, it's really a
neat thing in using just really basic technology. Space Guard Academy kind of captures some of that search for asteroids and what asteroids are and how we study them. And it allows people of all ages to kind of become a member of the academy. You go through some fun computer graphics and stuff, and you get qualified to be a member of the academy. And, of course, you're learning along the way in a fun way.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that we had an asteroid kind of come in over Flagstaff heading towards Safford Thatcher area that kind of exploded. Did we ever recover any of the material from any? That was just within the last 6 months, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, they didn't recover any, but they were using those all-sky cameras to look at that to see if they could pinpoint, you don't know for sure if it burned up all the way, but, sometimes based on the brightness and the, that indicates the size, and you can kind of infer if you expect it to have burned up all the way. Because most of the things, if you think about seeing a shooting star, 99% of them are created by something the size of a grain of sand that's burning up in our atmosphere. And it burns up before it hits the ground. But then you do get, you know, pieces that, you know, fist size or basketball size. I don't know, something like once a month, Earth gets hit by a basketball size piece of rock.
Yeah, I mean, meteor crater, right there.
Two-thirds of the Earth is covered with ocean. Most of them are landing in the ocean.
And then you've got meteor crater right there just east of where you are. And I mean, what was the size of that? It was about the size of a refrigerator, I think, if I remember
actually
right.
Bigger. The meteor crater is about 3/4 of a mile across. It's the best preserved impact crater, not in Arizona or the United States, but in the world. It's the best preserved. So scientists for years have come here to study it. And it was created by something the size of about a 747.
Oh, it was. Okay. Okay.
The surface,
it is amazing to stand on the side and look down. It's impressive.
Now, when we talk about these Earth approaching objects and near misses and, you know, in galactical frame of reference, what's a near miss?
A near miss, I don't have the exact distance offhand, but it's something that comes generally within, like the orbit of the moon, say.
Okay.
You know, that kind of scale thing. So, you know, if something, the closest it gets is to where Pluto is, that's not considered near, but something, you know, something as close as the moon is, you know, that's like close by. It's, you know, and then the moon is 240,000 miles away. So in the scales of day-to-day life, that's a long ways. In the scale of the universe, that's a small distance.
Pretty close.
Kevin, what's if as an adult, if you want to come up and take a class or do a tour or something, what is the largest telescope that the public would have access to? Because I know, don't y'all have the fifth largest in the world?
Right now, the largest telescope that visitors can look through is the one, as you're driving in Flagstaff, you see this big white dome on the side of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the telescope. It's the one built in 1896. And it's when we talk about the size of telescopes, astronomers talk about the diameter of it, because the wider it is, the more light you can gather. So this is a 24-inch diameter telescope. But for the rest of us who don't care about the diameter but want to just know how big that old telescope is, it's 2 feet across, 24 inches, and 32 feet long. So it's cool. I mean, you go inside this building and, you know, it feels like you've walked into the middle of a Jules Verne novel. The walls are this reddish wood, and there's this long telescope tube, and it's pointing out, you know, doors that are unveiling the universe above. And it's just even before you look through the telescope, just going in that building, you know, it's neat, because quite often visitors go in there and they start whispering, because it just feels like a special place. Nobody's told them to. It's just,
it just, you know, demands that.
You know, you go to the Vietnam War Memorial in D.C., as you get closer, you just start whispering, and then you realize it. It's the same thing with this telescope. It's just an inspiring thing to be just stand in his presence.
Well, Kevin, we've teased everybody to get up to Flagstaff and take the time to run up the short drive to Mars Hill, get in and see Lowell Observatory. What are y'all's hours of operation?
Well, our hours are pretty easy. We're open every day of the year except for some major holidays. And Monday through Saturday, we're open till 10, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And on Sundays, we close at 5 o'clock, so 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So they're pretty standard throughout the year. And we have, you know, the regular tours and telescope viewings at night and other programs. And then, like you were mentioning, we also have a lot of special events. For instance, on January 31st, we'll be talking about this eclipse that's going to happen. And it's kind of neat, because it's a full moon. But it's also one of the full moons that's kind of closer to Earth than others. So it's been called a super moon because it looks a little bit brighter. And it's also a blue moon because it's the second full moon of the month. And it's also going to be a total lunar eclipse. And so it's got a little bit of
which some
everything.
People call a blood moon. So it's a super blue blood moon. And
yeah,
what,
right.
And what, that hasn't happened in 150 years?
Yeah, it's been a while since. Yeah. And, you know, some of these terms like super moon or, you know, it's not scientifically that big a deal. It's just that the moon is a little, because the moon's orbit is not perfectly circular, it's kind of squished out. So sometimes it's closer to Earth and sometimes further away. And so when it's a little bit closer, it, you know, the closer something is, the bigger, the brighter it looks.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of a neat coincidence. The eclipse itself is until the morning of the 31st. And so, you know, wherever you live in Arizona, you can go outside. The eclipse starts, you know, just a little chigger bite is taken out of the moon at 3:51 in the morning. And then totality starts at 5:51, and the maximum totality is at 6:30. And so, and then it ends at, totality ends at 7:07, and it goes back to being full. But it's not horrible. Like, you don't have to get up at 1 o'clock.
No.
You know?
I no, mean, with totality.
Most of us getting up in the morning, you can get up, and the moon will be low on the horizon, but you'll still be able to see it eclipsed.
That's so cool. Well, Kevin, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us and share with all of our Arizona listeners what's going on up at Lowell Observatory. Thanks a million.
Go ahead.
We've
had a great time, and thanks. You know, any more questions, we have our website, and you can contact us that way or give us a call.
Well, next time I'm up on the property, I'm going to hunt you down, and I certainly appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, great talking with you. Thanks.
Okay, man. Thank you. I love that place. And I don't get there. I don't make the time to get there as often as I'd like to.
Just being that awe-inspired is good for the soul, I think. And I think sometimes living in the valley, we forget how many stars. You know, don't take the time to walk out because there's not that much to see. You get up there and it just takes your breath away.
It comes alive, that's for sure. And I've been infatuated with space, like I say, ever since my parents took me to the Space Center below Houston. And I just knew I wanted to become an astronaut. I just knew that was my calling in life. And then Dad showed me the space capsule and says, well, you're going to be in there.
And then you found out it was more than 3 hours and you knew you couldn't do it.
I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be an astronomer. If I can't get there in my F-250, I'm just not going to get there. But boy.
You'll cheer them on.
Can you imagine what it feels like strapped into that thing and they say, lift off?
They've trained astronauts there at Lowell. Did you know that?
Every astronaut from every space shuttle mission has been to Lowell Observatory. So it's
a big deal.
It represents a very special place in the world of astronomy, that's for sure.
One of my favorite movies, The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff.
I mean, I can watch that. I know it's a four-hour epic. I could watch it for three or four times. It's an incredible film.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned. I want to talk to y'all a little bit more about this lunar event that's going to be happening the end of this month and how you might be able to get a very, very special training opportunity about it. Stay tuned.